We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
I used to have a lot of negative views about Rochester, especially before I started my art journey. But I think that was only because I didn't know the people that live and work in Rochester. I really believe that Rochester has some of the most beautiful people, some of the most kind people, people that really want to help you.
Hello and welcome to It's a Lot, a podcast about things that are a lot. On this show, we have honest conversations about the highs and lows of social media, parenthood, and more. When it comes to complex topics, online discourse can lack nuance and empathy. That's why we're leaning into deep conversations, making space for conflicting, messy feelings, and keeping it real about how we feel. We could all use a little more of that sometimes. I'm your host, Emily Hesney Lynch, and this is a fun crossover episode. For the first time ever, I have a co-host joining me. He is the host of Mind of Magnus, and if you know him IRL, you know he's big on kindness and building community, and I'm really happy you're here today, Magnus.
Oh, I'm honored to be here.
And we're also excited to be chatting with Adam Eaton tonight. Adam is a Rochester, New York-based fine art photographer and creative director whose work centers on portraiture, visual storytelling, and celebrating the beauty of Black people. He began learning photography in 2019 and built his practice around one core goal, helping people feel seen through images that feel timeless and human. I love that in the AI era, especially. His first photography book, Black is Beautiful, is out now. I've got a copy in front of me and we're going to talk all about that tonight. You will find a link to that in the show notes. I can't wait to learn more about all of that. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to talking more. Just for starters, I want to hear about your career as a fine art photographer.
So I dealt with depression for many, many years before 2019. And so I was feeling really bad and I was wondering, like, what could I do to feel better? In 2019, I actually said to myself, like, I think creativity is going to be the way that I can beat this depression. So I took a course. I wanted to take a course at Flower City Arts for ceramics. But instead, because the ceramic course was sold out, I took the photography course. And so that's started my journey of learning photography.
Very cool. Did you ever get to try ceramics later on, or you just stuck with photography once you found it?
That's actually my next goal. So starting this spring, I want to finally learn ceramics.
Nice. I know depression really gets its hooks in people. So has it really helped you combat depression long term, or does it kind of ebb and flow for you?
I really believe that creativity and art has transformed my life. I believe that everyone should have a creative practice because it helps with mental, emotional health, and it definitely has changed my life for the better.
Did you have much of a creative practice before you started photography?
So I guess younger, I used to draw like cartoons in a sketchbook, those type of things. And then throughout high school, I did like music. I went to Penfield High School, so they're very big on arts and culture. And so I did music. They had like studio art. They actually had a photography course while I was in high school. But after high school, it's difficult. It was more difficult to like have a regular practice.
It's always difficult. After high school and school, that's definitely one of those things that's you don't realize as a child what the opportunities you have being in schools and all those, you know, classes to it. So it's definitely, that's what is amazing. You found the Flower City art group. They do a lot for a lot of people here for bringing out the creative aspects and that. So
yes, for sure. I really believe that Flower City Arts is a gem in Rochester.
True.
And very helpful for just people who want to learn about art and culture and be able to find the practice in art that they like and experiment and try new things. And I really believe that people should have a creative practice, and Flower City Arts is a good place to start. And they have lots of different arts that you can try and build and grow and just be a creative person there.
I love that. It's a nice way to dip your toe in without a huge commitment either.
True. I really believe all cities need stuff like that. And I think Rochester has a good amount of like arts and culture and arts organizations, but we definitely need more. And I think people need to know more about what's available in the arts world in Rochester because it's so helpful. Before I like took these photography class at Flower City Arts, I really didn't know that Rochester had such a thriving community of the arts, and so many artists live and work here. And I really believe that it's important that the city really promotes the arts in our community.
Fingers crossed. Always hope for the best, right?
Yes.
So what are some of your favorite kinds of photography to shoot, or what makes a photo shoot enjoyable?
So when I was learning photography, I first started with my iPhone. And so because it's free, I would go outside and do sunsets or scenery or trees, those type of things. But I learned that that really wasn't fulfilling my like creative itch, I guess. So and then I started taking photos of people. And so I think I believe that portraits really are what really brought me closer to the art of photography, and to learn about lighting, and just to learn about people's stories and be connected to the community.
Was there a person like evolving from, I mean, beauty of flowers and sunsets that definitely hit you, but is there a person or a moment that like, or just over a course of these photographs of taking pictures, you like it more, but, or was there a moment where it hit you like, that was fun, I want to do that again? Is there a person in your mind that holds that that spot for you?
I always had like, I think it's a gift, the idea that you can see the beauty in people. Mm-hmm. And like, you know how you're just walking down the street and you're like, oh, this person, their eyes are like hazel, or they have good bone structure, those type of things. Like, I've always noticed those type of things about people. And one time I was in the Eastview Mall and in the Verizon store. And
the most beautiful place in the world.
Can't believe it. Yeah.
Makes me cry.
Yes, one of the clerks at the Verizon store, I was like, you have like a great face. Like, I've just started learning photography. Maybe I could take your photo. And he was my very first model. His name was Walter. I think that's where the idea of like connecting with people and understanding lighting and wanting to like pursue the idea of being creative and continue learning about photography, like, the connection with people, I really believe, is what helped me as well to continue to grow my creativity.
Very cool. Do you have like a lot of conversation then when you're photographing someone, or is it quiet, or how does it usually play out?
It's actually mostly talking.
Yeah.
I really love learning about people and their stories and learning about like their life. So one of the questions I ask people, like, tell me about you. And I just say, like, start from the beginning, you know, like, I want to know about people and their families. And that's really how the book Black is Beautiful came about. So the model on the cover, her name is Awaldu. She was telling me during the photo shoot about how a lot of people, when she was growing up, would say that her skin is black and dark. And I said to her, black is beautiful. And so that's like how the idea of Black is Beautiful started, from that conversation, saying to her that black is beautiful. Your skin is beautiful. Dark skin is not a bad thing. Even though she had heard that all throughout her life, from that moment, I wanted to like use my photography and my creativity to change those ideas.
That's amazing. I love that. There's so much discussion now. I feel like that maybe wasn't being had, or wasn't being had in the mainstream before. Like, I read a ton, and a lot of people are having discussions about how authors describe skin color. Because some white authors will be like, the girl had muddy skin. And it's like, why are you saying muddy? Like, that's not the best adjective choice. So people are just having a lot of discourse about what is going to sound kind of like it has a negative connotation that you should avoid, and things that you can use to show like the rich vibrance and depth and things that are positive and not making it sound bad.
True. I really believe that I'm trying to use my art as a way to change those cultural like ideas about what black skin is and what dark skin means. I really believe that dark skin is beautiful, that it photographs beautiful, that it's actually, for me, easier to photograph dark skin because I love using lots of light. Mm-hmm. And so just because of the culture that we have in America that's filled with like racism and discrimination, a lot of people with dark skin feel that they're not beautiful and that they're not worthy of being photographed or having the spotlight, you know? So I really want to use my art to be a highlight of the beauty of dark skin.
And you do remarkable well. The book, looking at it, your ability to take the highlights are so great. Like the lighting on photography can make or break, and you really have done well of capturing just the skin tone, but also the shape and curves and the natural form of each individual person. Just flipping through it, you everything is such a unique thing. There's not a uniformity across everyone. They're all so distinctly unique, and just in flipping through, it's that level. So kudos on pulling off the lighting on that for someone who just from 2019 on has been doing photography. This is impressive.
Thank you. I like to say that I'm still practicing. I'm still a new artist in my mind. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And so it's just been like a labor of love to continue to like grow my photography, learn about lighting, learn about all the things that creativity can bring to your life.
I'm glad, Magnus, you have the art words, because I was like, it's pretty. Oh my gorgeous. God.
I want to go into the whole thing. The book's phenomenal. You laid it out too, right? We're talking about this. You were actually the graphic designer as well as a photographer for this layout.
True. I also had help from Marco Fusiek. He's helped me to like do the template for like printing and the sizing of the book and all that. But the layout is, I chose each photo and where it goes on each page and how it's designed. So that took a long time.
Yeah, it's kind of made variations. Like every time I design any sort of books or something, there's so many like going through. Did you revisit this book multiple times, you know, moving people around to get the right kind of flow where the eyes are? What made you feel that this layout is the final layout? What was the connections? Do you feel like there's a step through that you did through it?
This is actually not the final layout. So this layout is only because the first printer I had can only do maximum of 200 pages. But the final book, a hardcover, will be 300 pages.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And so to me, I think the book will always be evolving. I actually want to, over time, add photos to the book. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to be doing a photo shoot in the next couple weeks with a family, and they'll be like the first family in the book. It will be the mom, dad, and then five kids. So I want to expand the book over time, have it grow. So this is actually not the final form. So it's going to be 300 pages, maybe 400 pages.
Wow.
And it'll keep growing over time.
And hardcover too. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's very heavy too as well.
I could even see like a children's book variation or something, because my son loves reading books with real photos in addition to like illustrated ones, and just seeing a Black is Beautiful children's book would be really neat.
I would like that, yes.
I also wanted to ask you, since we were talking about lighting, there was something I remembered from a few years ago with Annie Leibovitz photographing Simone Biles, and the internet just blew up over it because she did such a terrible job and made Simone look awful. Do you remember that?
I do believe that art is subjective. I wouldn't say that Annie Leibovitz did a terrible job, but I definitely noticed in those images where it could have been better for her dark skin, Simone Biles. Simone Biles is actually very beautiful, and some of the choices that were used for that lighting, I may not have used or would have changed potentially. I do believe Annie Leibovitz is amazingly talented. And sometimes, like, just because you're like a really talented artist, sometimes it doesn't always turn out the way you would hope.
Sure. For any photographers who are photographing Black folks and might not have much experience, do you have any tips for how to light Black people?
I would say use lots of light. So the more light, the better. Because dark skin absorbs light, you actually need a lot of light. And a lot of times when I think with artists that work more with lighter skinned people, you can't use a lot of light, or you can't have the light too bright, because light skin actually bounces light. Mm-hmm. I think you have to think differently when you're lighting dark skin, and you can actually use more and more light than you maybe would think.
That's interesting. I'll definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's definitely been a discussion of dealing with photography. Like you're talking about originally doing like iPhones and phones that way. Technology is finally catching up with some of the optics, because for many years, it was tough to have a photo of you of dark skin. Like some of the first early iPhones, it was horrible. I know friends of mine who getting into photography were struggling a lot doing entry level cameras were unfortunately not great as they got more digital. It's getting better and better now. So as your process, what's the technology you've been using? You said you did iPhones before. Have you figured out new techs to use or different cameras?
So after I was using my iPhone 11 for a little bit, I actually posted on Facebook, like to the community, like, I want to grow my art. I want to learn how to use an actual professional camera. Does anyone have a camera they can donate or have anything like they would let me to borrow those ideas? And so someone messaged me on Facebook and they said, like, I will donate the funds actually for you to get a camera.
Oh, wow.
And so from that donation, I was able to get my professional camera that I use currently. It's an Olympus camera.
That's amazing. Truly what patrons do to make art happen. That donation, we have a book in our hands right now looking at amazing artwork because of someone putting their funds where they can. That's wonderful.
True. I really believe that my art journey from 2019 has been like really community-based. Without the community of Rochester, I would not have been able to grow. I would not have been able to. That's how I got my studio space. Someone allowed me to use their studio space and share with them when I first needed a space. Scott Hamilton was like my mentor in the early years, helping me with lighting. He had lights from like 1980 that I like learned with and practiced with. And I really am grateful to the community for allowing me to be able to like be a part of their lives and for them to help me to grow and to be mentors to me, because I would not have been able to do it without the support of a strong community.
Well, I'm all for that. Yeah. The city's phenomenal. The community, it's one of the best things about the city, I swear.
I really believe that Rochester has some of the most beautiful people, some of the most kind people, mm-hmm. people that really want to help you. And not everyone necessarily feels that way, but I really do believe that if you find the right people and start letting yourself be open to the idea of making friends and connecting with people, you can find the community here in Rochester to be able to support you.
Rochester is such a great small city for artists. Like we're saying, like, it's so scrappy, I think. I think that's why people end up sharing things and helping each other, because there's not a ton to go around. So we all have to help each other, and rising tide lifts all boats and all that.
There's actually a big spirit of like people coming together, people mm-hmm. helping each other, people wanting to like share resources. So it's important for artists to connect.
I'm curious, you have done some creative directing too, right? So I want to hear about like how that's different from the fine art work you do and like what goes into doing creative direction for agencies and stuff.
Yeah, so I worked with agency Dixon and Schwabel for a campaign with ESL Federal Credit Union. That's been a few years ago. And that came about all through just the idea of community as well, like posting on social media. I was able to connect with a creative director from Dixon and Schwabel for their new campaign, and they wanted to use more diverse clientele in their photography. And so they saw my work and was interested in how I like photograph Black people. And so the idea of like creative direction is, I actually like the idea of having like multiple forms of art and multiple mediums of art. I really do believe that a lot of artists are not just proficient or talented in one form of art. Most creative people are good at lots of different things. And a lot of times people want you to maybe focus on one thing, or, and I guess in the world we live in, the consumerism type of world, you maybe need to focus to be able to make money. But I really do believe that me, for sure, I have so many different creative talents. So I love like creative direction. I love doing, even like during photo shoots, you're like doing fashion styling and like sometimes like hairstyling, those ideas. So with photography, I've been able to use lots of different mediums of creativity.
Very cool. It sounds like it really keeps you engaged in a lot of different ways.
Yes. Sometimes just focusing on one thing all the time can become tedious. So I like that photography allows me to do different things and use different parts of my brain and use different creative mediums.
So you mentioned kind of social media and stuff here. This town's got a lot of creative folks in here. When working with social media, did you share out all these photos I see here, or did you keep them for your book? Did you share them out? When you have good photography, how do you treat good photographs? Do you hold them like or do you want to get them out there as much as you can?
I actually use social media very much. Like, it's a big part of, I think, my growth as an artist. And I really believe that all artists should use it to its full. So I normally post photos every day, mm-hmm. especially in the stories on Instagram. So a lot of the photos from the book have been posted on social media in stories or and like permanent posts on my feed. But a lot of the photos in the book are like never before seen idea and for sure never printed. Mm-hmm. The book Black is Beautiful shows my work starting from 2019 all the way to like 2026. And there'll be new images coming as well. So it's definitely been like a journey of the creativity and making sure that I like show my work from the very beginning days and also to most recent as well.
That's awesome. I've been very impressed by this. Do you feel that you get, out of curiosity, this is more of a social media question, but when you post the images versus stories, do you feel that you have more traction on either one? I'm just generally curious on how social media is working now. I like hearing artists' take on stuff.
I would say based on the platforms and based on our location. So Rochester is very big on Facebook. So I actually get more engagement when I post on Facebook.
Interesting.
Especially from local people. That's how I got the connection with Dixon and Schwabo, the ESL campaign. They saw my work on Facebook. Instagram, I think, is more for like becoming maybe nationally known, international, those ideas. But if you're a local artist and you want to like have your work be successful in your local hometown idea, Facebook is the place to go, because a lot of people that are looking for artists that are in that demographic use Facebook.
Is that a personal page or a business page? I'm curious.
It's a personal page, mm-hmm. Yes, on Facebook.
So it's having friends, not having people follow a business page.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, Facebook, they rank the personal page differently than the mm-hmm. business page. I think Facebook is like, they lean towards having your like personal page and your friends and your followers, those ideas, more than they would promote business page, I believe.
It's pretty hard to get engagement on a business page if you're not paying for sponsored mm-hmm. ads.
Yes, for mm-hmm. sure.
Well, speaking of like money, sponsored ads, selling your work, I'm curious about just your self-employment journey. So you've been photographing since 2019. How long have you been self-employed for?
During the pandemic is when I like took the leap to be a full-time artist. So 2021. So since 2021, I've been a full-time artist. And I've been really like the idea of like fortunate and blessed to be able to have community of people that have supported me with like donations and private donors. Those ideas have helped me to be able to be a full-time artist. So and then the campaigns like the Dixon and Schwabo working with larger organizations have been able to help me to fund my career. I really sometimes feel guilty for the idea of like, there's so many artists in Rochester that want to be seen and want to be known and want to be heard. And sometimes I think artists feel that, like, why are you selected over me? And I understand that idea, like the idea of like, why are some people able to maybe become a full-time artist and people like their work and they have like thousands of social media followers and people like their work, but other artists that are working just as hard, they feel that they're not getting the attention that maybe they deserve or that they want. So sometimes I do feel guilty about those ideas. Like, why am I able to be successful when other local artists that are just as talented are not able to maybe have the same success or have the same attention? So I think about those ideas a lot.
So when that hits you, though, how do you deal with that feeling? What's the next step? Is there something that you reach out to people to talk, or what's the next step when you are felt with those feelings?
Those feelings actually I felt from the very beginning, because it seemed like from 2019 when I first started photography, just learning photography, people have liked the things that I've created. And when in my mind it was like, I'm just starting new. I wasn't doing photography at all to like become an artist or to like get attention. It was just a creative practice, but it seemed like people liked it. You know, people really gravitated towards it. So those feelings have started early on, like the idea of like, well, why do people like my work when my friend who's an artist, they've been doing this for, I don't know, 5-6 years already before me, and they're not getting the same attention. So that led me to be able to create Rochester Artist Collaborative, which is an organization that I started around 2020 to help local artists to be able to have the resources and opportunities that they need to be able to grow. And so along with my like personal art journey, I also started like a community art journey, like connecting with local artists, trying to find the resources, find grants, find connection with organizations in Rochester that can help artists to grow. And it brings me to my advocacy work that I've been doing. So I'm always advocating that artists have the funding that they need, talking to local leaders. I've talked to like Jeremy Cooney, Mayor Lovely when she was the mayor, but now Malik Evans, now that he's the mayor. And I really want to advocate for the arts community in Rochester because it has been such an integral part in my life and has transformed my life. And I really believe that local artists can transform Rochester if given the funds and resources that they need. So I really want to advocate for the arts in our community and making sure that it grows and that artists can have the things that they need to be able to be successful.
I don't think you'll hear anyone disagree with you in this room. Of course, we need more funding for the arts. I'm curious, like, what has helped make you like uniquely successful, though, if it's like you're clearly very good at marketing and PR and you're able to speak about your art very well. You've like built a lot of relationships. Are those the things that have helped in terms of like actually being able to be established, or is it something else?
I think you're exactly right. The idea of like connecting with people, being kind to people, and the idea of like making sure that you're giving as much as you're maybe receiving. I think sometimes I try to give more than I would receive. Like, so making sure that people have the things they need in the community. I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses, so I study the Bible, and there's a quote in the Bible, like, the more you give, the more you will receive, those ideas. I really try to give my best and try to help people and be kind and pleasant when you're talking to people and give your gifts as freely as possible. And I really believe that those blessings come back to you. The kinder you are to people, the more loving you are, the more that you try to help others and assist, people really want to help and people really are kind. And I think maybe some artists a lot of times like they resist those ideas, or maybe they have like trauma that has happened in their life or things that are negative interactions with people. Like I wouldn't say that I have had no negative interactions with people or connecting with the community. But I really believe that if you keep going and you keep connecting and you keep trying to find the people that really want to support you and help you, you can be successful.
I think putting yourself out there is really hard for a lot of people, but even just thinking of you asking for a camera to be donated, like that was the start of your journey and someone said yes and donated.
I really believe that me not wanting to be depressed and not wanting to feel like the sadness that I was feeling before I started creativity really is like motivated me to like whatever I have to do, whatever I need to do to be creative, whatever I need to do, because creativity really like started to like change me and like heal me, those feelings. And so I said that I can't go back. I can't go back to what I was feeling before. I can't go back to being depressed, being suicidal. I have to continue to make creativity a major part of my life. And so I think I let go of any fear of like connecting with people, asking for help, asking people to support you, whatever I needed to make sure that creativity was number one or a major part of my life. I pushed past all the fear to do that.
Actually, I want to take a step back. You said Jehovah's Witness, right?
Yes.
That's a interesting sort of intersection there, having art and Jehovah's Witness. Question for that one, as my great-grandmother and grandmothers were Jehovah's Witness, so I'm pulling from a bit of them when I'm asking this question. But does your faith, having that sort of faith, was there any sort of limitation to your artistic creations now? Has there been tension because of that, your past, to the creative desire you have now?
So Jehovah's Witnesses are very creative people in general. Like I think all humans in general have like the idea of creativity. We believe that Jehovah God in the Bible created the earth, all humans, animals, trees. And so the idea for me is that if God is a creator and he created all things, then that means that I need to also be a creator, or that it's important for me to create. And so the way I'm able to create is through art. It's just the medium that I chose is photography. So those ideas, I think, has helped me to be able to grow in creativity, because I believe that God is the creator of the earth and he's a creative God. And so the humans that he created also need to be able to create to feel whole.
That's awesome. So you're seeing the Black is Beautiful, you're seeing that creation should be on display as well. So like that you're showcasing the beauty of that creation through your creation and your eyes.
Yes, I believe that God's greatest creations are human beings.
Nice.
And that human beings are the most beautiful of all the creations. So my goal is to be able to make sure that people feel beautiful and that they feel human and that they feel that they're connected to one another and that they feel loved the way that God would want them to feel.
Nice.
That's a lovely concept. Thank you for asking that, Magnus. Let's take a quick break and we'll keep going just after that.
Hey everybody, it's Matt from the Anomaly Presents podcast. I want to take a moment to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts on the Limpshore Podcast Network. It's Common Thread. Rory Van Grohl and Greg Benoit talk with their guests about how the values, philosophies, and sense of community found in hardcore punk has influenced the trajectory of their lived experiences in unexpected ways. It features organic discussions that illuminate how hardcore punk is the common thread that provides continuity throughout our lives and connects us to one another. It's Common Thread on the Lunchdoor Podcast Network, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hello, Rochester. This is Richard B. Cologne.
And Quanti Donnell.
We are the curators of the Behind the Glass Gallery, where we host monthly receptions on First Friday, showcasing three underrepresented artists from the Rochester area.
And on this podcast network, you can listen to us speak to these monthly artists to get another lens on their medium and how they contribute amazing things to the Rochester arts community.
Catch us at 240 East Main Street every First Friday and
on the Lunchador Podcast Network.
So I'm curious to learn a little bit more about the book. How did you curate the photos when you've taken so many images over the course of your career?
So I've taken about 100,000 photos.
Wow.
So choosing the photos for the book and paring that down to 200 for the first run of the book was very difficult. It took me a few months to be able to do it. But I wanted to include as many models that over the course of the past 5 to 6 years that I've been working on the book. So that played a big part of it, picking the photos, making sure that I had as many people represented, as many like skin tones and skin colors from the lightest to the darkest. So that was a big part of it. So that's why I actually want the final version of the book to be 300 pages or more, because I have so many images that are so beautiful from the time that I started in 2019 to now. And I want people to like see themselves in the book. So I want to add as many photos as possible.
Are there any particular photo shoots or models or moments that were some of your favorites from the process?
So the cover shoot with the Waldo, she actually like started the idea of Black is Beautiful. So that was very important. And then just all of the photo shoots really have been impactful to my life. The idea of like meeting people and learning about their lives and learning about their families has been impactful to me. Like it has helped me to grow and to learn about people and community and just understanding Rochester better. I used to have a lot of negative views about Rochester, especially before I started my art journey. But I think that was only because I didn't know the people that live and work in Rochester. The idea of like the people that have been here their whole lives and have been through a lot of like trouble and trials and tribulations and those ideas and trauma. I think a lot of times those feelings do come through in like the city, especially in like the Black community. But through the book and through this project of Black is Beautiful, I've been able to really like learn about people, learn about their life, learn that people have gone through a lot and that they're human and that they've made mistakes, but they also have really good hearts and people just want to like grow and get better and to be loved. So it's important for me to have done this project, I think, and to be able to really learn about my community and to be loving to Rochester and understanding.
That's great. I think that's so cool. Would you ever want to try to get your book put in the libraries so more like humans of Rochester can access it?
That's the goal. So I'm working with an organization for the next print run. It's called Book Baby. And so they said that they can help me to be able to get my book into Ingram, which libraries use to order their books. So I'm learning about the self-publishing world and how difficult it is and how expensive it is. And so there's all these like different systems you have to get the book in. You need an ISBN number. You need to work with like different distributors, and libraries use a certain system for ordering their books. So it's been a journey for sure, learning about the self-publishing world.
That sounds like a lot to learn.
Yes.
So I'm curious, we talked a little bit about social media already, but do you enjoy posting on social media for the most part, or is it more of a drag? Like, how do you approach it and feel about it?
I try to force myself to enjoy social media only because I understand how much it is very helpful to being an artist. If you're an artist and you want to be known, and if you want to make art your career, I really believe that social media is essential to that currently in the media landscape that we live now. So I always tell people that if I didn't have a business of art, if I didn't make art my like livelihood, I probably wouldn't use social media. But because it's so integral to my like day-to-day life and my business, I have to use social media. So I've grown to accept it or like it. Some days I love it, but it depends.
What makes you love it on those days?
You know, like if a post gets lots of views or lots of attentions or lots of comments and likes, it does give you like a dopamine rush. Mm-hmm. It does make you feel really good. Like, I don't know, 1,000 people like this image, and it makes you feel really good. So those are the days I love social media the most.
Yeah, I had a post go up today about the podcast episode I published today, and it is totally flopping. And I'm like, why? Why does no one like this post? I worked so hard on it. You know, the algorithm feels so fickle sometimes. And you know it's a good post no matter what if you put effort into it, but it still sucks when you don't get the reach you want. And
true. Yeah. It's difficult when social media is like so based on like an algorithm. It's not. So that's why I really like to tell artists that it's not about like your talent or your ability. That social media, a lot of times people call it like a game. The more you use it or the more you play the game, you'll get better at it. And it has nothing to do a lot of times really with your talent or ability.
Is there anything in particular that's working well on social media lately? I know you've grown a pretty good following with your own account and the Rochester Artists Collaborative.
I'm actually starting to use Reels more and starting to learn about the trends of like video creation and what works for other creators. I'm trying to tailor it to my style of art and like what I feel most comfortable with. I really don't like to be on camera, but I'm learning to like maybe show myself on camera more. That does help. People like to not just see your art, but they actually like to know the artist behind the art. So it's a difficult thing, but I'm trying to learn and grow in like how to use video content and Reels and show your face and talk on camera. It's a journey for sure.
Is there any content you see from other artists that you get inspiration from?
Actually, like a lot of the fitness content is actually very entertaining, those ideas. And like there's a lot of comedians on social media, so my algorithm is like everywhere. Like someone told me that people want to hear your story, so those ideas, like making sure that I like tell my story and let people know who I am, not just the art I create, but like the person behind the art.
And you seem to do so with a sincere sense of authenticity, which I have to say, which I like a lot. Because a lot of people I've seen really are trying too hard, and that just kind of falls flat. So your stuff, how do you keep your authenticity like in today's world where everyone is really trying too hard?
I really believe that goes back to my idea of faith. Like because I am one of Jehovah's Witnesses and I basically study the Bible, we study the Bible weekly. Like we have our regular Bible study meetings. Really, the Bible is all about like trying to be the best person you can be. That's my opinion of it. So by using the Bible, making sure that I'm like being kind, being your authentic self, not having ulterior motives, those ideas, it really helps me to stay grounded and to stay present and to make sure that I'm like not doing anything for my own personal gain, but like I'm trying to use my talent and ability to help others So my Bible-based education is really a big part of that, making sure that I always use my talent and whatever skill I have to help others. And so I see even the idea of like being on a podcasting interview, like if I can spread the message of my book, Black is Beautiful, help people to feel better about themselves and not feel like they're othered in the world that we live in, I think that means I'm doing a good job.
So you'd be doing good so far. I'm loving it. So.
Thank you.
Oh, your brother is like kind of Rochester famous too, Calvin. And I'm curious like what the vibe is, if you guys are like competitive in any way, or if it's more just like you are both hyping each other up, if you learn from each other, like what's the brotherly relationship like?
I would say my brother is one of my biggest fans.
Oh, he really is. Perfect. I love hearing that.
And I'm one of his biggest fans as well. He has a cookbook also, and he's very talented. He's a writer, really. That's like his main art, being an author, writing. He loves to write. So we call each other probably weekly and like, you know, talk about our life, talk about like our business, and we help each other in business and growing on social media, those ideas. So definitely no competition. We're each other's fans, and we want to carve our own path, of course, but we're definitely very supportive of our creative journeys.
Is he the older brother?
Yes, he's five years older than
me. Okay, and then do you have any other siblings?
We have a younger sister as well.
Is she like very creative also?
Yes, she's actually like a fashion designer.
Wow.
So she, every year she makes dresses and different fashion stylings for like our meetings and celebrations, those ideas. So we have a very creative family.
Do you take really photos of her outfits out of curiosity?
She doesn't like to be photographed.
Oh, seriously.
She's very self-conscious. We're actually all very self-conscious, but I think we like push past it, especially me and my brother. So because our business has become where you like, you basically become a public figure. Mm-hmm. So, but if we didn't have the business of like being known or being seen, I don't think we would be seen.
I gotta convince her.
It's funny how that works. Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't have a book out yet. Yeah. You're gonna get her to get a book, so you have the whole trifecta.
That could be fun.
That'd be cool.
I'll do the imaging for that.
Yeah.
Well, 2026 is a lot for everyone lately, just with the news, terrible things happening in the world. Is there anything that's helping you kind of balance and stay sane these days?
Definitely my art journey and my art being creative has helped me to be able to cope. Because I'm so busy like creating and like growing my business and connecting with people. Even during the pandemic, working with like, I really like basically shot in the studio almost every other day. So I really didn't have time to like feel sad or to like feel the pressures of the world, because I actually was like learning photography, being creative, meeting people. So it was actually really amazing that art has really been my like saving grace through all the difficult times. And I really believe that's why I'm so passionate about that every person should have a creative practice. No matter if you show the world or not, you should be creative in some form, because I really believe that being creative is so powerful and can help your mental wellness and make you feel better about all the trials and tribulation that the world is going through.
What would you say to someone who's like, I'm not creative at all, I don't have any talent, like they don't even know where to start? What advice would you give them?
I would say God made you to be creative. Everyone's creative in some way, whether it's cooking, whether it's drawing, whether it's painting. There's so many different ways you can be creative. There's not only one way to be creative. So you should look for one way that you prefer. Maybe you like working with paint. Maybe you like being a content creator. Maybe you like drawing. Maybe you like dance, even those ideas, or just dancing in your room to music. That's a creative outlet. Mm-hmm. So everybody can do those type of things for sure.
Definitely better than staring at our phones and being depressed by social media. Is there anything coming up for you creatively or otherwise that you're excited about?
I would say that now I'm on a celebration tour. I really believe that I've been creating for about 5 or 6 years now. And so the book is really like a culmination of like all my creativity, all my hard work that I've been working through, all like my journey of growth and healing. And so now I want to celebrate that, all the people I've met, all the people I've connected with, and say thank you to all the community members that have supported me. So I'm on a creative and celebration journey.
Good. You should. I wish more people did that. A lot of people go right on to the next project without truly giving the wonderful thing you created its chance to shine. And that book is definitely worth some celebrating. So take some time, focus on that. Sounds great.
Thank you. Now time to celebrate. Mm-hmm.
So how can people get that book? How can we get that book in my hand?
So you can get my new book, Black is Beautiful, on my website, adameaton.com. I will also be on Amazon in the coming weeks. So I'm working on that. But it is important to support local artists. So you'll be able to find my book on my website, adameaton.com. Currently, it will be in bookstores coming soon. If you don't have funding, it's going to be in the local libraries as well. So there'll be lots of ways for you to view the book.
Wonderful.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Adam. This was great. The photos are gorgeous. Congratulations again. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. So happy to have you. It's been wonderful. Like I said, I love a good, well-designed book, and that thing hits the spot. So perfect. Well done.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.